step up, Councillor Nuala Killeen. How are you, Nuala?
Hi, I'm great, Clem, and I think we all really needed to hear that song this morning, so thanks for that.
Yes, great.
And I'd like to wish you and the team and your listeners a very Merry Christmas.
And the same to you. Many happy returns for all your contributions during the year. And Nuala, the meeting of the last couple of days, you had three motions. You want the council to undertake a road safety assessment of the pedestrian traffic lights in Conwy.
Yes, it's quite a busy area where the children are going to school. So I'm pleased that now some anti-skid measures, the surfacing is going to be introduced there. So that should hopefully reduce any risk. You know, there was reports of people not stopping on time for the traffic lights. So I'm pleased to report the council are acting quickly there and installing some anti-skid surfacing at the site. So we'll keep our eye on it, and hopefully that will be enough to reduce any risk to pedestrians or drivers.
Yes, the story of domestic violence, we've been featuring it here right throughout the year. Unfortunately and tragically, it gets worse at Christmas time when we're all cooped up in that oven-like atmosphere. And if there are problems existing within couples, they seem to become magnified. You want the housing units available for allocation in 2022 in the Selbridge-Leixlip area, that the council work with domestic violence service providers to do what?
Well, what I wanted to see was an increase in allocation of units, or a reassessment of some of the units to be provided as transition accommodation. Basically, I was trying to explore if something could be done in our municipal district to assist this cohort of people seeking to flee, because usually the solution where there's no family hub or no refuge available would be just to get a rental, you know, to, for a person to take themselves out of that situation. So I actually amended the motion. In the end, after a discussion, I had a comprehensive report, and TUSLA are the lead body in respect of funding. The funding can be applied for through Kildare County Council. So I believe that we're going to be writing to TUSLA now, asking for them to put something in place, because I think really, you know, with the housing crisis, it's the people who are in the most vulnerable cohorts that are impacted more severely, because it's harder for anybody to move on. You know, even people can't move out of the home into rentals. There's constraints all over the system. So it's just really an exploratory motion to see what can we do. And so in the report, it was very comprehensive. We did learn quite a lot. So hopefully we'll see something further in 2022.
Excellent. Now, there's a bit of news regarding Ardkloch, Leixlip and Selbridge regarding design analysis and town renewal plans.
Yeah, so we're all really keen for some action to happen in respect of this for 2022. Obviously, COVID has not been anybody's friend in respect of delivery of a lot of things. So basically, the town renewal plans for the three towns are being drafted. And I had kind of thought, would the public get any engagement or participation in that, you know, kind of in a consultation process? The consultation processes were open last year, but I don't think people were fully aware that they were open, you know, because people weren't really talking to each other at the time. So there might be an opportunity for public consultation next year, which will be good for people to kind of get involved in that. People are really keen to see a bit of kind of innovation, or, you know, like a bit of life injected into the main streets, really. And, you know, everybody wants to see positive development for their town. So, yeah, we'll be looking forward to that. So we've got a plan moving forward for the next 6 months.
Excellent. All right. You have a good Christmas. All right.
You too. Thanks very much for all your service and all the information and the updates. It's really appreciated.
And go easy on that turkey, ham and plum pudding and all of that as well. That's Social Democrats Councillor Nuala Killeen on the Selbridge-Leixlip Municipal District. Thank you indeed, Nuala, for that. Just a quick message before I pop back to Ciara. Can I commend Philly Wolf, says Ollie, on his punditry on Saturday. He never lost confidence in Naas winning, and even at half time when things didn't look good, he said Naas would win with a bit to spare, and he proved right. Don't know about the bit to spare, Ollie, in regards to that game. In many senses, Naas can consider themselves lucky in a way. Now, I know that might annoy people, but certainly having trailed for most of the game until Kerwin kicked that marvellous goal, and what a great goal it was. And, of course, with the help of Leper and others then in the closing stage. Certainly better in extra time, Naas were. But remember, they did bring it back. Shelmanis brought it back to a single point late in extra time before that goal nailed it. And Jesus, what a great, great goal at the end of the game for Naas as well. He nearly took the top off, Hannafin nearly took the roof off the net. Ciara.
Yes, Clem. So I was just mentioning a few moments ago, Councillor Peggy O'Dwyer of Kildare Newbridge MD. She's currently a vaccinator at Punchestown. And we know there has been huge queues of people not only getting their first and second doses, Clem, but mainly the queues are for the booster doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. So she sent this in this morning to say, just want to say on behalf of all the vaccination team in Punchestown, thank you to the people who queued for hours and hours yesterday, especially for their kind words and patience. When we arrived for work, some staff had to abandon their cars and walk past the queue just to get into the vaccination centre itself. She said, we all worked together. There were staff continuing walking the lines to identify vulnerable people and young children, fast-tracking them out of the cold. Unfortunately, we had to close for a short while but reopened in the afternoon for walk-ins. We just need to keep going. We are in it together. And in regards to those walk-in vaccination clinics today, there is one open currently at Punchestown for those aged over 40. And the current waiting time as of 17 minutes ago is 1.5 hours.
Thank you, Ciara. Your mine of information. Well done. Good job there. And thank you. Mary Smullen in Salon says, would you say well done also to all involved in the Santa Parade, which was held on Saturday. It came up the Clane Road in Salon's and met the Christmas truck and back down to Salon's IT. Was lovely. Also wishing you, Clem, Ciara and Dawn and all the staff in KFM a very happy Christmas and a happy New Year and for keeping us all through the last year. Many happy returns to you, Mary Smullen in Salon's and your family, and thank you for the message. And Shannon Cushitakter he's listening to us, and yes, he's looking forward to Tashik Sul Gamur, the Shemeda Ve Laro, Ek Patrick Hilti, Chlushdal. Yes, I think this is an amazing speech. When I listened to this speech, I was just completely in awe of it. Patrick Hilti is a well known comedian, he's also a former minor footballer with Down, and I take up this speech about 3 or 4 minutes into it. Just to give you the prelude to it, he was addressing a seminar on the Shared Ireland Forum. What does a shared island mean? How might it come about? I've heard a lot of politicians speak, often in cliches, about, you know, a united Ireland and that. This is a view of a shared Ireland that I think will keep all of us thinking for quite a while. He starts his speech by recounting that he was making a programme for the BBC in Northern Ireland around the 12th of July, and he went into a loyalist area. Patrick Hilty's father, by the way, was murdered by loyalists, just to put that in context. He went into a loyalist area and he told the gathering at the Shared Ireland Forum of how welcome he was made to feel, even though his picture was on top of the bonfire to be burned. And he met other loyalists and got their views of what their understanding about what is going on and what they want. And that is something that we often fail to grasp. You know, how threatened do these people feel in terms of their identity? Let's pick up the speech by Patrick Hilty.
In a post-Good Friday Agreement Ireland, a big mistake is one that I've already made. Trying to put a lid on the past and hand the new generation this shiny new page without really talking to them and each other about the chapter before. The one that we lived through, the one that hurts, the one that we want to forget, but the one that might help change how they see the future rather than falling back on the myths of the past. We all pass down our opinions, our preconceptions and our misconceptions, usually without first questioning them ourselves. Sometimes we need to talk to people who don't fold our own opinions back on us. The day I helped build the bonfire, I also sat down with Jackie McDonald. Jackie, of course, is a former UDA commander and now a community worker. We both know that the UDA killed my dad, but while we were sitting talking there, it wasn't the most important thing about our chat. The most important thing is that we both shared. We shared a bit of our past and our pain, our hopes and our fears for the future. And it felt good. With 2 boys under 5 now, I know the chairing isn't easy. Offering up something that you'd rather hang on to, it's way easier to knock 7 bells out of each other and then cry when you're not getting your own way. A shared island means challenging ourselves to go beyond our own comfort zones and what we're prepared to give up to make things better for others and ourselves. In this year of centenaries, the ghosts of the past are easy to honour. It's way easier to sing a rebel song about a united Ireland than decide not to sing it in order to maybe have one. And yet we have to be honest with each other about who we are, how we feel, and why we feel it. And it's not just trauma that gets passed down. This isn't just a northern thing. Across this entire island, not talking and not engaging means that other things get passed down too. One-sided history, stereotypes, and maybe the worst of all, apathy. It's easy in a post-Brexit world to sit in Dublin and say the British government doesn't care about the North when the truth is, for many people here in the Republic, they aren't particularly interested in it either. Unless a Northern team pulls a hard Brexit with Sam Maguire. I know it can be a tricky place to get your head around, somewhere that's home to Orange men and All-Ireland winners. But it's way harder to understand when you're not curious. As someone born and reared in County Down, a place that in the past has returned both Eamon de Valera and Enoch Powell as our MPs, it's always been clear there's another side to the coin. Disagreeing or ignoring another opinion or another way of life doesn't make it go away. We've had to share things in Northern Ireland for a while now. For a long time we didn't, and it got us nowhere. Sometimes compromise is slow, frustrating, torturous. Sometimes it doesn't happen at all, but we are still sharing the same space. And the vast majority of people in the North no longer look at things through a binary prism. They're getting on with their lives and each other. Say this quietly, but the shared island we're talking about is already happening today, just up the road. Is it a love-in? No. Is it united? Definitely not. But you know, too often on this island we get fixated with the notion of being united, remaining part of the United Kingdom, becoming part of a united Ireland. But as a fan of the red side of Manchester, these days can I say that being united isn't all it's cracked up to be. This island is never going to be united. And that's okay. Because no matter if, and it's a big if a border poll takes place, and more importantly, no matter how it turns out, most people living here will feel exactly the same about who they are and what they believe in. There's still going to be a million or so on this island who are British. They don't just think they're British. They don't need converted. They're not confused. They're British. In the same way that a million or so living north of the border today know that they're Irish. A shared island means being able to be Irish in a future Northern Ireland or be British in a future Ireland and not holding no fear. It means we can all feel as at home the day after a border poll as the day before, no matter the result. In the 1960 All-Ireland football final, when Down slayed the mighty Kerry, my old headmaster, Jarlath Carey, played midfield. He once told me that the last thing that was said in the dressing room before they ran out that day was, "Whatever happens, the mountains of Mourne will still be standing when you get home." Now, I'm not for a second saying that a border poll is anywhere near as important as Down winning in All-Ireland. But whatever the outcome, the mountains of Mourne will still be standing. And the nationalists and the unionists who live there will still be sharing those mountains, agreeing on the same things and disagreeing on the same things. I never thought that I'd be a paddy on top of an 11th of July bonfire. But after it was, I drove home to Dundrum, County Down, and would you believe, the mountains of Mourne were still standing. The flags were up on the lampposts on the main street for the 12th of July parade. And on the same main street, in Park Sean O'Keelta, they were putting the flags out for an under-10 GAA game. There weren't any GAA players walking arm in arm down the main street with orange men singing Kumbaya. No one was sailing into the sunset. But we were still sharing the island. Sharing sometimes isn't straightforward. A lot of it isn't easy. But if we all start with ourselves and we think about what we as individuals can share, it's maybe not as hard as you think.
Remarkable, isn't it? A whole new perspective. Maybe we should stop talking about a united Ireland and talk about a shared Ireland, a shared island. I think that's a remarkable speech. And, you know, the phrase that springs to mind when I hear that speech as enunciated and articulated by Patrick Keelty there is, we're in the season of peace and goodwill to all men and women and others, whatever your perspective. So maybe we should concentrate more on sharing and understanding and not feel threatened by each other's identities, whatever that might be, politically or historically or heritage-wise, and just all get on with sharing the island, which is what we're doing already anyway.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge. Get Christmas all wrapped up at Whitewater.
Okay, welcome back. Now, I have to say, that speech by Patrick Keelty to the Shared Ireland Forum was so thought-provoking. I find it remarkable indeed. And let's hope you find it the same way also. I'm joined by Councillor Cullum Kenny, who's a Green Party councillor on the Naas Municipal District and the County Council. Good morning, Cullum. Thank you for joining us this morning. You want the council to address the issue of vehicles crossing at the staggered junction formed by the L2002 joining the R407. Here, will you put place names on those, please? What are you on about?
Absolutely. So just there at Bowdenstown Cross, now that the new Salins bypass is open, I mean, that's alleviating a lot of traffic that was passing through Salins Village. But one of the knock-on effects is that a lot of traffic now is coming from the motorway, turning off, heading towards Clane, heading towards Kilcock. And it just seems the volume of traffic there seems a lot busier at Bowdenstown Cross, travelling north-south, and it therefore makes it more difficult for drivers to cross east-west from Killeen or from Millicent direction across that junction. So I raised that issue, and the council response was that they reckon there's reasonable sight lines, and the junction generally operates within capacity, and that drivers should really use their own discretion using the junction, using the rules of the road.
All right. Moving on to another one. You asked about the car parks, council-owned or operated car parks, that they have fully accessible, well-defined and marked safe pedestrian pathways.
Yeah, well, just coming up to Christmas there, spent a good bit of time around the town, and in particular Christmas, a very well-run and organised Christmas market there on the Friary Road, Boyle's car park. But just in general with the car parks, I noticed, like, when you compare them maybe with the layout of some of the car parks of maybe multiples of shopping centres, there is, like, well, clearly defined footpaths to and from the entrance, you know, hatched markings, and maybe to the pay and display machine. So I requested the council to maybe that they would follow up and paint these markers. Now, again, the response from the Transport Department is that the council, that it does not recommend installing pedestrian pathways within car parks because patrons tend to take the most direct route, you know. But I just wanted to sort of raise that as an issue that, you know, people may be scooting in and out between cars, and just from a safety point of view, that they'd actually use footpaths.
All right, okay, Cullum, your next motion on the CLOR there concerned the area of Cyclock. Is that what they're called? Cyclock bicycle storage lockers in Abbey Street car park.
Correct, yeah. So just there in behind the now being renovated and refurbished, our new library there, the old town hall in Naas. in Abbey Street Car Park. There are bicycle locking facilities. This issue was brought to me by another avid bicycle user who pointed out to me that these lockers, they operate by downloading an app, and then you book your time slot, and the app doesn't seem to be working, and the lockers, I mean, I haven't come across anybody using them in recent times, and there seems to be kind of anecdotal evidence that these same lockers installed in other areas aren't functioning either. So I asked the council, would they follow up on that? And the response from the road safety officer was that they have requested a status update from the provider on the lockers.
All right.
To follow on that, Clem, I just would point out, I mean, in the future, hopefully we're going to have a greenway coming to Naas. There's a lot of cycleways in the pipeline. So if we're not providing the facilities for modal shift and for active transport, for safety, for where people can lock away their bikes and scooters and everything.
Okay. Colm, briefly on this, if you would. You asked, would the council be installing HEPA filters in locations heavily frequented by the public, like the library and the motor tax office? Yes or no?
Yes, that they said they are monitoring these different places at the moment. But this action may take many forms, but not limited to, including the installation of HEPA or high efficiency particulate absorbing filters. And I know there's a lot of chat now at the moment as well about them being installed at schools. So I don't want to take away from that, but public areas like libraries, motor tax offices, etc. Yeah, I'd like to think about that.
All right, good talking to you. Green Party Councillor Colm Kenny, regards to the genius, the encyclopedic historian himself, and the brother. And happy Christmas to you, Colm. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, look, thanks, Clem. All your crew in there, the public service, as people have said, particularly during COVID and particularly during the important football matches that we've had in recent times. So, okay, thank you.
Indeed. And the other half I was talking about is Liam Kenny, of course, that wonderful, great, knowledgeable local historian who regularly contributes to the programme as well. Wow, what a speech by Patrick Keelty. Well said and very, very true, says Sylvia. I agree, Sylvia, in regards to... Just finished in Punchestown, says a listener. It just took to over 2 hours. The car park is quite full and the overflow car park is also quite full. Wrap up warm. It's absolutely freezing. And thank you indeed for keeping us up to date on Punchestown, which we'll be doing. Very short break, and after this we're going to review that quite spectacular weekend of football action. It's the Sports Review Monday. Let's begin. We'll have a look at the games involving Kilcock and Naas, but let's begin first with a look at Kilcullen, who were never really threatened, albeit they were leading by 10 points in the second half. It was pulled back to 4, but they finished in style with Kieran O'Brien. Seamus Dillon, you watched that game for us. We won't go through a blow-by-blow because we have some reaction clips that we'll play for you. But overall, that's a fair summary, I think, isn't it? That Kilcullen never really threatened.
Absolutely. Clem raced into a 2-point early lead, led 6-3 at half-time, and then when Tim Carey got that goal early in the second half, that opened up a gap that, you know, they never were going to lose, although they did give away the 2 penalties in the second half, which brought it back to 4 points. And as the game was going out, they were finishing strongly till the end, Clem. So they were comfortable winners by 7 points in the end, but never a game you could see them losing.
Right, indeed. But nevertheless, in that second half, while they were up 10 points, they gave away 2 penalties in a rather short period of the game.
Yeah, 2 penalties expertly put away by centre-half forward Joe Rabbit. And he made no mistake with either of them, sending the goalkeeper Cormac Barker the wrong way both times. And it probably was a worrying time for Kilcullen as they closed that gap down to 4 points at that stage. And they kicked on again towards the finish, and Kieran O'Brien, who had an excellent game, scoring 1-5, sealed that victory for them with that goal in the 30th minute. But they were comfortable throughout, Clem.
Stay with me a minute. This is the manager, Brian McGrogan.
Over the moon. I couldn't. This bunch of lads just keep surprising me game after game. So we came into a semi-final and we used it of do not let yourselves down. The last game to get into a Leinster final, and the boys went out and played unbelievable football. I couldn't be more proud of them.
We probably, as in the press, and I know Tommy had mentioned it, Callaghan over a couple of weeks back, and that we were saying about losing that bit of concentration. That's certainly something that you worked into the boys for today, and they played for 30 minutes, 60 minutes.
Well, I'd like to thank Tommy for that, because I used that in my speech. I said, remember what Tommy Callaghan said? He says, 100% right. Says, now we go out and we prove everybody wrong. Says, let's play football for 60 minutes. Now, there was a times where we switched off, but we were on top of the game all the time, that I just knew, no matter what they brought or threw at us, says we were always going to kick on.
And kick on they did. Tommy Callaghan, now assistant manager of the Cullen team and strategist, maybe, of the Leinster leader as well. Now, all of these interviews, by the way, and we have, aside from Brian McGrogan, we also have the Kilcullen's Tim Carey, who was among the goal scorers.
Great achievement now to get to the Leinster final. We got knocked out there a few years ago in this stage, and I was only coming through at the time. So it's a privilege to be back into a Leinster final now with the likes of Franny and the older boys like Chops and Marsh.
I don't know about how Franny will feel about that. The Franny in question is Fran Short, the older boys.
That's amazing to get to a Leinster final now. We got knocked out. We were at this stage 5 years ago, and it just didn't go our way. But this year we made sure we weren't leaving this behind.
I think you look back on your own personal performance today, probably your game of the year, but you've been outstanding throughout. And, you know, looking out at you there today, you led from the back. You were excellent throughout, and you're one of the elder statesmen of that team, and it must be great for you to have that.
Yeah,
don't know if he's going to thank you for that, Seamus Dillon, but...
No, probably not.
That's Fran Short. The full interviews will be played this evening at 6:30 on Kildare Scoreboard between 6:30 and 7:00 with Paul Power. But just a quick word, their final opponents then, are Clonbillogue from Offaly, who hammered O'Loughlin Grails from Kilkenny on Saturday morning by 3:60, or Sunday morning by 3:16 to 6 points. A game played at 11:00 in the morning. Now, we don't know much about other club sides, but their final is on January 15, Saturday, January 15, Seamus.
Yeah, that's the provisional fixture, which probably will go ahead, taking everything else into account. An impressive display from Clonbillogue, from what I've heard back. 3:16 is a fair score to be getting at this time of the year with heavy pitches and stuff like that. And the Clonbillogue come into this competition with a reputation of being one of the strongest and probably the favourites to win it out. And Kilcullen, if they play like they did on Saturday, and, you know, they conceded 1 point from playing the whole game, they'll put it up to Clonbillogue, and they'll be eagerly looking forward to that that day on the 15th of January, Clem.
Well done indeed. Seamus Dillon reporting from that game on Saturday. And well done, the Rags. Marvellous achievement altogether. And they march on to what is going to be an incredibly busy two weekends in January, on the 8th, 9th and the 15th, 16th. I'll tell you about that later. But we're also joined by our match commentator from O'Connor Park in Tullamore on Saturday. No joy for Kilcock against Clara, Pat Costello. The overriding impression I got of this game was Kilcock were always in contention right up to the closing stages, but kicked too many wides.
Yeah, I guess I was the unlucky charm as far as Kilcock were concerned in Tullamore on Saturday, Clem. But I think they would have played, as I would see it, as in, really only in third gear. It was probably their least impressive performance of the year. Now, the absence of Daniel Courtney was a big, big blow to them. He would have been driving them on at various stages. But a disastrous start as well, as conceding a goal and a pint inside the first 3 minutes. But fair play to them. They came back and levelled it after 9 minutes with Finlay Nairn's goal. But as you say, they were playing against the wind. They were always there or thereabouts, and only a pint in it at half-time. And you would expect them to kick on in the second half, but they didn't. It took them 17 minutes or so to get their first score of the second half through their inspirational captain, Jason Gibbons. And then when they might have been coming back, then again, they lost their centre-back, Sean Maguire, to a black card. And while they had put a lot of possession in around the 50-yard line, they certainly couldn't penetrate this very tough Clara side, who had plenty of experience with the players in the likes of Carl Stewart and Graham Guilfoyle, and of course our inter-county player Colin Doyle, as well as Cormac Delaney and Ed Cullen. And they just couldn't penetrate them, and that was their downfall, I guess.
Indeed. Let's hear from manager Kian Flanagan.
No, disappointment, I suppose, is the first emotion that comes into it, but I can't fault the lads. They died with their boots on there today. They gave it their all. We just weren't clinical enough. You know, we had chances to get ourselves in a good position, and poor shot selection at times, poor execution, just little things. Look, you could see maybe a little bit of difference. You know, they were probably operating at a higher table than us the last few years. But look, that's where we're heading to go. I thought we'd enough of the ball to come out with something.
Yes, indeed. And they will be playing senior next season. So it's been quite a year, Pat, for them, and they've a lot to look forward to. But first, let's hear from Captain Jason Gibbons.
Look, we tried our best. Fairness to Clare, they were a good team. We missed a few opportunities, maybe at crucial times. Probably could have used the ball better at certain points, but maybe that's just for us to learn and improve next year for senior football.
It was a start that you wouldn't think Kilcock would ever have in a game.
It was a disaster start. Like, it couldn't have went any worse. Like, 1-1 down after maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Like, and just probably just slow to start, and they were very quick on off the blocks. Like,
indeed, slow to start, Pat. And despite that poor start, they did fight all the way to the end. Only a point down in the closing minutes before Clara clinched it with that final point of the game.
That's right, with the substitute pass, mate. But they didn't feel sorry for themselves. They realised that they could have done better. And their aim at the start of the year was to get into the senior championship at Kildare. They've done that, and they're looking forward to performing at senior level next year and beyond, indeed. Then.
Indeed. And Pat, we'll let you go. Well done. Great commentary on Saturday, Pat. And our thanks indeed to Maglair Sand and Gravel Kilcock for their sponsorship of Kilcock throughout that campaign. And also, just to say, Pat, of course, is sports editor of the Kildare Nationalist, so he'll be busy getting all the reports ready for tomorrow's edition of the newspaper. Thanks for that, Pat. Chair McNally, good morning to you. Nace have done it again. And we talked about lucky late goals. Don't know if there was anything lucky about those two goals, but certainly maybe Nace will wipe their brow and say, lads, we did well to come through that game against Shelmaliers on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely, Clem. I suppose sometimes you just get a feeling that a team has their name on a trophy, and although kind of luck only carries you so far, you still have to get the job done yourself. They have had their fortune fall in their favour more than one occasion throughout already their Leicester campaign, and certainly on Saturday they were second best for the majority of the game. Shelmaliers and Wexford absolutely dominated possession, even though they would have been considered underdogs going into the game, I'm sure, by most observers. But in fairness to Leicester, they did stick at it. Darren Kerwin's goal in the 50th minute when they were 4 points down was absolutely crucial in helping them get back into the game. Eamon Callaghan then in the 58th minute levelled it up before Shelmaliers went ahead again with the man who scored the goal in the 7th minute, Owen Nolan, putting them ahead in injury time. And then in the 65th minute, Cathal Daly won a free kick, a really hard-earned one free kick. And it was left to Eamon Callaghan to kick that equalising score. And I don't think Nace would have swapped Eamon Callaghan for any man in the country to kick that nerveless last gasp equalising free kick. And in fairness, once the game went into extra time, then Nace, I suppose, their extra bit of fitness took over. They went 3 clear, but Shelmaliers though came back again. They got 2 points, and it was only a point in it going into the last couple of minutes before Dermot Hannafin continued the long line of his family tradition of scoring and kind of helping teams to big wins in Crow Park, and he got a late goal before it was sealed up. And
he buried it, I have to say. Is he anything to... There was a guy from Kerry called Seamus Hannafin used to play football up this way.
His father, I think, is Dermot, and also his grandfather, I believe, is Dermot as well. I think it's heard Dermot in a row, I believe, who all... grandfather.
There was a Seamus Hannafin played football here in the county as well, I think. Certainly a good Kerry name, and if it is a Kerry in terms of that. Now, the looking ahead, by the way, let's hear from the captain, Owen Doyle. Just to point out here, it's a bit noisy in the background, because, Ger, where did you have to do the interviews?
We did it on we were brought over the far side of the ground from the Hogan stand over to an absolutely deserted Cusick stand side of the pitch. But obviously the interview went on, I think, during the national anthem ahead of the second semi-final, and also the start of it as well, which obviously had a bit of crowd noise in the background.
Yeah, well, I've done my best to take the national anthem bit out of it in terms of that. And just to mention as well, given the difficulty our commentators have, we heard the last day when Ger was up there doing Kilcock's last game, where he was standing on the roof of a dressing room. Well, Seamus Dillon did his live updates of the Kilcullen game on Saturday, standing on top of a team dugout. I don't know why these games, particularly at Leinster semi-final level, are still held in club grounds which don't have the press facilities for commentary and stuff like that. But anyway, Ger stood there with his trusty microphone and heard this reaction from Owen Doyle, the player manager of Nace.
It was everything that we thought it was going to be. You know, obviously we didn't want to go to extra time, but we knew they were going to be physical, we knew they were going to run the ball, we knew they were going to keep the ball very well, and they did. I don't think it was our best performance ever for 50-odd minutes. And then if you're going to be playing with 14 men for 20-odd minutes as well in Crow Park, it's not going to be an easy feat. But I thought the resilience shown by the lads there was super.
very proud of him.
He kept going to the end, like even you were 4 points down. Obviously, Darragh's goal was a big moment in turning back the game in your favour.
Massive, yeah, you know, and he probably wasn't in it as much as he would have liked to have been in it. And I mean, that happens, you know, opposition are going to have key men that they look at, but the goal was massive because it's very hard to, with the style of play they have, to chip over 4 points and then 5 points, so probably a goal was needed, and Darragh took it very well, in fairness.
He took it very well, shimmied left, shimmied right and buried it low into the corner of the net. As I said, we'll have all those interviews, and that was the only interview that you were allowed to get, Ger, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. And obviously in Croke Park things are much heavier, more restricted than the kind of the club grounds or other grounds. And yeah, that was almost the only one out of the dressing room, although probably understandable that too many Leicester players didn't want to leave the dressing room. They were probably soaking up that moment as well. That'll be a long time memory for them.
All right, we'll hear those interviews that we have played for you. That's Owen Doyle from Naas, Jason Gibbons and Cian Flanagan from Kilcock, and Brian McGrogan, Tim Carey and Franny Short from Kilcullen. All on Kildare Scoreboard this evening between 6:30 and 7:00. And just before I let you go, Ger, early January is going to be busy for Kildare and Naas footballers and hurlers. The Kildare footballers begin their Auburn Cup at home to Westmeath on Saturday the 8th. The next day, the Naas footballers play Kilmacud Crokes in the Leinster final. That's on Sunday the 9th. The Naas hurlers play Wexford's Oilgate in the intermediate final the following Saturday the 15th. That's the same day that Kilcullen play Clonbillogue in the junior final. And the next day, Sunday the 16th, the county hurlers begin their Keogh Cup campaign. Ah, Ger, you better enjoy Christmas.
Absolutely. I wish, look, it's a good complaint to have. Just a remarkable way for an Easter round off the year. It's incredible to think that their two senior men's teams have gone through the 2021 year unbeaten in the championship, and they'd now have the reward of those two finals to look forward to in January. And thankfully as well that the house being moved, because there could have been initially been a bit of a clash between the hurlers and footballers, and obviously with James Burke and Brian Bourne involved in both teams, it's good that common sense has prevailed there and it's been moved to up to weekend.
Well done, you and Philly. Super commentary on Saturday, and our thanks to Auxilia Business Management Consultants there in Millennium Park in Naas for their support of the Naas coverage throughout the campaign, and we hope to have them on board again for both finals in regards to that. That's Ger McNally off busy now with the other edition of the Nationalist being down there in Carlow. Thanks, Ger, for that. Good morning, Helen O'Leary, and welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Clem, and a happy Christmas to you and Owen and Ciara and all at KFM.
Thank you very much indeed. You're an awful devil. You came the other day unannounced with that beautiful picture, Poem for Clem. I have it now up on the wall, and everybody who sees it says, isn't that beautiful?
Oh, that's great. And you know what? You've been great. You've supported us the whole way through and you've given us great support for The Voices. So you're very welcome.
The Voices is the anthology of the Moat Writers Group, which is currently on sale in shops around Naas. Make a great Christmas present. Short stories and poems by the poets from the group whom we've had here all along, including Helen O'Leary. Helen, what have you got for us today?
Clem, you'll remember the COVID Zoom call from last year.
I do. The one between the grandmother and the grandson.
Exactly, but who would have thought it would be still relevant? So we'll dedicate it to all those people who have loved ones abroad that they haven't seen over the past 18 months or so.
Okay, so this is the Zoom call again.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love this poem, a Ryglat.
Okay. Granny, can you hear me? It's me, I'm on the Zoom. I've taken my mum's iPad and I've snuck up to my room. I really want to tell you about some stuff in school today. There's things I want to show you. Tons I have to say. Yes, lovey, I can hear you, but my picture isn't on. Tell me what to press here. I'm doing something wrong. Ah, yes. Ah, now I have you. And aren't you looking well? Now talk to me about it. Tell me all you have to tell. Oh, Granny, it was great fun. We had PE in the hall. And I shot in 3 baskets, because I've grown very tall. And I'm in the reds for reading. I'm flying through my book. I know my 6 times tables. I don't even have to look. Ah, lovey, you're a flyer. You're making me so proud. I'm coming over to see you as soon as I'm allowed. Now tell me about your sister. Is she still so very small? Does she smile for her big brother? Has she any words at all? Granny, I've a secret. Please don't think I'm bad. But when she breaks my Lego, she makes me really mad. And sometimes she's annoying when she whinges and she cries and tries to take my headphones when I'm playing with the boys. Ah, love. She's just a baby. But I'm sure it must be tough when she's crawling round your bedroom, grabbing all your stuff. But she knows you really love her, as all big brothers do. Just wait till she's bigger. Then she can play with you. Gran, it's nearly Christmas. We're putting up our tree, and when it's up, I'll zoom you so you'll be able to see. Granny, when are you coming? I'll let you have my go in the spare room and sleep with Mam instead. Very soon, I hope, love. I miss you all so much. I just can't wait to hug you. Can't wait to feel your touch. Can't wait to hear you reading. Can't wait to see your tree. Can't wait to have a little chat. Share secrets, you and me. Granny, are you crying? You look a little sad. No, lovey, it's the internet. The connection here is bad. Gran, I've got to go now. Mam's calling me for tea. Off you pop, my lovey. Give your sister a kiss for me. And Granny, don't forget now. I'm giving you my bed. No, love, I won't forget that. I remember everything you said. Bye, Granny. Have to go now. Please come very soon. Bye, love. It was great to talk to you. And thank you for the Zoom.
It's Sinead Clem. It's a most magnificent poem. I love it. And who'd have thought, Helen, that we would be in this situation again? And that 12 months have gone by. Can I wish you and your family a very, very happy Christmas and all of the great Moat Writers Group. What an incredible contribution you've made to the programme over the last 2 years. And thank you again so much.